God, glory to God, glory to God.
Lord, we just want to continue in that sense for just a minute to worship you, to humble ourselves before you, to give you all of the glory and all the praise. And Lord, if there's anything that's ever been done in our lives that could be considered good, it was because of your goodness over us. And we just love you and we honor you and we praise you. And we just give you the glory, God, for all that you've made us to be. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that he who the Son set free is free indeed. Right? I was reading this morning, and I'm not going to necessarily preach on this subject, but the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, I think there's things in our lives that we allow to go on that the enemy is oppressing us with, that Jesus has already paid the price for our freedom. But because we still have that tentacle attached to the past, he's still able to pull our strings. This morning, I want you to know that he wants you to be free from those strings. Glory to God. Deliverance is here for you, right? Glory. I said deliverance is here for you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? Glory to God. We ought to operate in joy. Joy. If joy isn't there, if peace isn't there, we should say, devil, you're found out. There's something going on here that you're the author of, because God wouldn't give that to me. And through his Son, he's already taken that from me. Come on, can you say amen? It's so good. It's so good. He is so good. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a few questions to get started. How many own your own car? How many own your own house? How many own your own clothes? Some of you don't own clothes. Okay, that's good. That's good. But listen, for all of those that raised your hand, I want you all to get saved afterwards. Because the reality is, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, then he owns everything. Right? We own nothing. I said, we own nothing. We are stewards of what God gives us. And everything that we possess does not belong to us. Oh, aren't you glad you came already? Glory to God. Go to Luke chapter 18, and I want to show you some things here this morning. And I think it's going to free us from some things. Come on. Watch this. This is so good. Do you know that to covet is both good and bad? The Bible says that we're supposed to covet the best gifts, right? Yeah. Right? But then it talks about don't covet your neighbor's goods, or don't covet your neighbor's wife, or don't covet, right? But the reality is this, that anything that you covet in a wrong way possesses you. Right. But anything that you covet in the right way possesses you. Glory to God. I covet his love. I covet his peace. I covet his presence. I covet, and that's all good. But I've got to get the ownership situation straightened out in my own head. Glory to God. Ownership versus stewardship. So this is a really famous story. You've all read it before or have heard it referred to. But in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Sounds like a great question, doesn't it? Hallelujah. So Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, oh man, all these things I've kept. I've been really religious. I've kept this from my youth. Man, I've been a good boy all of my life. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. I wonder how many things we lack. We're following Jesus. We love Jesus. We're trying to do the best to serve him all that we can. But what is that one thing that we lack? I'm going to answer that for you today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He said, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Some have taken this and said you shouldn't have anything. Right? You should just live poorly and give everything away. But that's not what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with the man's heart. And God wants to deal with your heart today. He wants to deal with my heart. He's been dealing with my heart on this subject for a long time. See, again, everything that you own, owns you. But everything that you're a steward of, he gives you to enjoy. So powerful. It's so good. It's so good. So good. Watch this. This is really important. You own nothing if you're saved. If you at one point said, I need a Savior and I'm making Jesus my Lord. Ever say Lord? Lord means master. Ever say master? That means chief. That means the one who's in charge. So if he's your master, then he owns everything that you have. But the minute that you don't allow him to have ownership of everything that you have, it becomes a heart condition to you. So you don't own your home. You don't own your car. You don't own your clothes. Listen to me. You do not own your children. You don't own your husband. You don't own your wife. You don't own your neighbor. You don't own your brother. You don't own any of it, but God has given you possession of it to be a steward and not an owner. Ooh, how you doing taking care of his stuff? I've told you this story before, but it just fits so well. When Michael was born, he was the firstborn, and he was in my hand. And as I'm telling you this, I can see him. I can see the room. I remember everything I was wearing and just looking at this little baby. And I said, God, my words to God were, God, do you love me this much? Because I'd never experienced a love like my own child. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my brothers and my sister. But this was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I said, God, you love me this much. And I'll never forget what he said to me next. He said, oh, and so much more. But he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. He's a gift that I've given to you to take care of. You see, we don't own anything. He owns it all. Amen. Have you ever thought about the verse, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Have you ever thought about that? And it talks about everything belongs to him. Well, you tell that to a rancher in West Texas, he might have a different opinion. I got some hills on the back, section of land, and those cattle up there are mine. No, they're not. They've been given to you to be steward over. In fact, I'll guarantee you and I'll prove it to you, they're not yours. If you had a heart attack and died today, right now, they'd still be here. But they would no longer be yours. But they'd be God's. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm trying to say that we need to get out of the ownership mode of anything that we have and let God own it. And then covet His love, covet His peace, covet His understanding. It is so incredibly wonderful. Look at, again, verse 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? You see, if he would have just said, Lord, whatever you want, and he didn't have ownership of those riches, but he said, it's gone tomorrow, I'll give it away. I am convinced in my heart that God would have said, awesome. Now I'm going to give you so much more because I could trust you with this much. I'll give you so much more if you'll just make sure that you don't own the more that I give you. Right? So much more. God does not mind us having things as long as we don't have ownership of those things, but use those things because He's given them to us, but not with an iron fist that I'll never give them away. If there's something like that in your life, right? I think it's time for us to pray that through. And I'm not saying that God is going to make you throw them away or give them away, but He might put you through a process where you would be willing to. I'll just use me. I like to golf, and most of you know that I'm a golfer. And over the years, I've collected golf clubs, right? My bag is worth quite a bit of money when it's all totaled together, right? And it's pretty valuable to me. I like my golf clubs. But the minute that I refuse to give up my golf clubs is the moment that I quit letting be Lord over my full life. Come on. Watch this. I'm going to go into some different areas, but watch this. It's hard when our heart is surrounded and pounded with the thing that we possess. That's exactly right. There is no freedom whatsoever. But watch this. It's not just the objects that we own. Sometimes it can be the hurt that we own. Sometimes it can be the pain that we've suffered. Sometimes it can be what was unfair to us that we take ownership of. Rather than releasing that to God and say, God, you own me. You own my whole heart. You own everything. You own my victories. You own my defeats. You own my pain. You own my joy. You own it all, Lord. And it's all for you to do with anything that you want to do with it. There's a verse, and you all know it. I quote it quite a bit. But Paul said it this way. He said, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Everything that I had before Christ, right? I am dead to the ownership of it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm going on. I'm continuing to exist. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. So everything that we possess, everything that we have, whether it's our children, whether it's our pain, whether it's our suffering, whether it's, you know, our golf clubs, whatever it is, our children, we don't possess anything from an ownership standpoint, but we may possess quite a few things from a stewardship point of view. And God wants to get all of those things that I've talked about from ownership this morning to stewardship. Here's the cool thing about stewardship. Lord, there's a drought and the grapes aren't doing so well. You got a problem. You got a Lord, this child that you gave me, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You got a problem. I'll do whatever you ask me to do concerning that problem, and I'll tend the ground, and I'll dung the plants, and I'll talk to my kid, whatever. But ultimately, Lord, it's yours. Because you own it. There's freedom in that. But anything that's got you tight, the core problem is that you own it instead of are a steward of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, here's the good thing. When God deals kind of roughly with you on a Sunday morning, be of good courage because I've had a week of it. Right? I this is just the first I've heard of it, right? But He's dealing with my heart on so many things. It's like, why? Why? Because God wants to get us back to the place of stewardship instead of ownership. Verse 24 of Luke 18 says this, "And when Jesus saw that they became sorrowful, He said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" In other words, what He's saying is whatever you're holding on to with ownership keeps you from having God rule in your life. I want more of you, Jesus. All right, I want to deal with you about this. No, Lord. I just want to sing the song over here. Let's ignore that. I'm going away sorrowful because God wants me to give up that pain that I suffered when I was 5 years old, or that trauma that I had when something happened to me when I was a teenager. He wants me to give that up. That's it. It's under the blood. It's under the blood because He's redeemed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I love this part. Verse 26. Those who heard it said, who then? Who then can be saved? If this man who did everything perfect, I mean, Jesus even commended him on his life. But this one thing, that's a big deal to those. I said, well, come on. If He can't be saved, there's no use in us even trying. Why? Because in most societies, there's a class system. This was a rich man, and his disciples were fishermen, tax collectors. That man looks like he's got all the favor of God on him, and his family has, and he's something special. And if he can't get it, how can I get it? That's a troubling question. But the answer is simple. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then He will lift you up. Amen. You no longer own anything. But God has given you much to be a steward over much. Hallelujah. Verse 27, He said to them, watch this, I love this. The things which are impossible with man are possible with God. In other words, if you turn ownership back over to God, then the very thing that you have need of is possible because He'll be at work in it for you. What impossible situation are you facing this morning? Could it be that it's overwhelming to you because you're still owning it rather than releasing it to the one who owns it? I remember when we went to Uganda and we're flying over there, and you know, I prepared some things and prayed and all of that before, but in the, you know, it's like a 26-hour travel time, you know, it's quite a few hours. So you're in the plane for a long time. And I'm just thinking, Lord, what do you want me to give them? And He told me this. He said, I want you to tell, and that was Bishop Frank and Nsimbi, and He said, tell them this, that I'm the source. I will bring you resources, but I'm the source. But the moment that you make your resource your source, you've limited what I can do. What does that look like? Well, in Mexico and in Africa, and they have missions come over, and Americans are blessed. We have, you know, churches have a lot of money. They think we're rich over here, right? This little church is rich because God has done great things through us, and we are rich. But the deal is, if I'm saying, listen, I need to get me one of those Americans to come over here so that I can build my church. What they've just said is, God, you're not capable. Now, can God use an American to come over and give them money? Absolutely. But the bottom line is God is their source, and He may use a resource. Well, how about us? What have we put in as our source rather than our resource? I worked for many years at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and people go, oh, I loved that place. I loved the job. I loved everything about it because God gave it to me and He used it to provide for my family, right? But Puget Sound Naval Shipyard wasn't my source. He's my source. So again, quitting and going full-time into the ministry with a church that was growing, but you never know. There's not a lot of security in charismatic Christians because we're flaky. Right? And we come and we go and, you know, what about the big tither? Well, she left or he left or, oh God, what do I do now? Right? But here's the reality. God was not my source or my security at the shipyard. I mean, God was my source, right? The shipyard was the resource. Here at the church, God is my source. Every once in a while, the devil said, well, what are you going to do? It's not my problem. I'll do everything that He tells me to do. But at the end of the day, He's my problem. We're wrapped up even in our society today. Well, what if the dollar goes down? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they take all of our money? What if they, and you get so pressured by that. understand, God is able to do the impossible in your life. But it's limited if you're taking ownership of the problem. What do I mean? I'm not saying that you can sit on your couch and do nothing. But what I am saying is, at the end of the day, and you've done everything that you can, don't limit God as your source. Right? A steward understands that his resources are in the hands of the owner. The Bible says he owns all the gold, all the silver, everything. It's all yours. It's all yours. I'm hesitant to go down this line, but I'm going to anyway. We have looked, now watch this. Again, God is the source. God uses people, uses companies for our resource, right? You remember that old song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places"? Right? Remember that? Some of your, that means you're as old as I am. But anyway, watch this. If we're looking to people to be our ultimate source of love, then we're always going to miss it. Because they can't be the ultimate source of love. Only He can be. So then we can take pressure off of the people that we love and that we need love from to be the source of our security, be the source of our comfort, be the source of our feeling good about ourselves. Because God's the source of all of that. Is this helping anybody? Does this make sense to anybody? Come on. God is love. Again, the Bible, we're not going to turn there, but it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. What does fear look like? I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know. She doesn't. She didn't do that. They said this. They said that. And fear starts. I'm not good enough. I can't make it. Look it. When you begin to understand that the absolute creator of everything stood over you and said, I love you. You enough to give my son so that we could have a relationship. And that when we get into a relationship, everything that my son has is yours. Watch this. I just love this. I think Jesus, you know, it says that Solomon was the wealthiest man that ever lived, meaning that he had accumulated so much money and gold and silver. It was amazing. Solomon was amazingly wealthy. But I think Jesus was the richest man. Because Solomon went and looked at his gold deposit. But Jesus went to his father and said, whatever I have need of, all I got to do is talk to him about it and I'll have it. I'll have it now. It was his confidence in the love of his father that took care of his needs. When you become a steward rather than an owner, you have confidence in the owner because the owner is good. Because with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. But there's another qualifier. He said in another place, Jesus said, all things are possible for those who believe. See, if you don't believe, it's not possible. But if you believe, it's possible. God, you can see me through. You can see me through. I mean, it's easy for us to begin to talk about it. And we had a conversation the other day, and it's easy to get into, well, this is bad, and that's bad, and this is bad, and that's bad. And what are we going to do here? It's not like it used to be, and blah, 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 and going on and on and on and on. And what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not in control of the situation that I'm facing and I'm feeling without hope. But when we sit in our heavenly place in Him, and He's the source of everything that we have, then there's nothing impossible to us because He's the God of all possibilities. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to make sure that I have clothes to wear. He's going to make sure that I have a house. And in our day, He's going to make sure I have a car to drive if I need one. Right? But He needs to be the Lord of my life. The moment I begin to take ownership of anything, it cuts off Him being the source. Have you done this? I have, and I do it all the time. I got a problem. Oh, God, what am I going to do? 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 Oh, God, I mean, that person left, and that one doesn't like me anymore, and that one is, and they're saying this, and they're saying, and I start to take that on. I take ownership of those feelings. When God said it this way, I'm the owner, cast the care upon me because I care for you. I don't think this is the right interpretation of it, but if you hurt me, I don't care. Think about that for a minute. If you backstab me, I don't care. If you're telling lies on me, I don't care. Dad, if you didn't treat me right, I don't care. Mom, if you deserted me, I don't care. Are you listening to me? Why? Because I've cast the care. And the reason I could cast the care is because I don't own my own life. He does. Oh. You see, when you hold on to the care, you're attached at the one who caused the problem in the first place. And it's not flesh and blood that we wrestle with, but it's principalities and powers that are trying to pull strings so that you move to the puppet master. And God has said, I want to cut that all off, but you've got to put me as the owner. Listen to verse 28. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Now listen to what Jesus is saying. This part is in red. I went from reading black here for a minute, now I'm into red. He said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one. Everybody say no one. Again, I'm included in the no one. You're included in the no one. When Jesus is talking, He said, assuredly, that means truly, that without a doubt. I've got to put a special emphasis on this so that you get it through your head. Assuredly, I say to you. Assuredly, that no one who's left parents or brothers or wife or children for the kingdom for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time to come and in the age to come, eternal life. It hurts when people leave us. It hurts when husbands go off, or when wives go off, or kids go. It hurts. But don't hold on to the hurt. Don't hold on to the hurt. Let it go. Let it go, because God will make up for it. He's done it over and over and over and over and over and over in my life. But to the amount that I let Him be the owner is the amount that I can receive back what He wants to give to me. I was headed for Raymond to go to Bible school, and lived in a house, actually was over in Manchester, had the house built. It was a pretty nice house. And I had a friend over, and he said, "You're going into the ministry, man. You're selling this house and going into the ministry. This is a nice house. I like this house." He said, "You'll never have anything like this again." You can say what you want to say, but I believe that God will supply all of my needs according to His. But I don't own this house anyway. He owns it, and He told me to go to Bible school. So me selling it is not a big deal to me, right? And He's given to Renita and I such favor that we are so blessed where we live. We're so blessed. Because the peace of God rests on our home. And He's given me a wife who loves me. Right? She doesn't just tolerate me, she loves me. Well, she does tolerate me sometimes. But she loves me, right? But she's not the source of my love. He is. So the pressure's off of her. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we giving God everything that we own? Are you today? What are you thinking about? What was possessing you today when you came into the room? What did you stay up with last night? Are you taking possession of that? Are you going to let God do what God does? Hallelujah. Go back to chapter 12. Chapter 12. I'm working on closing, and I haven't said half of what I wanted to say yet, but it's okay. Hallelujah. Actually, let's go to verse 42. For time's sake, he said, "And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him to be ruler over all he has. But if my servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' because and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at the hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in to and appoint his portion with the unbelievers." See, this whole thing of being a servant or being a steward is a big thing. And it's like you taking ownership of your feelings and being stopped by your feelings because you've been hurt over and over and over again causes you to quit being the steward of what God's told you to do. And God, I mean, Jesus is talking here. He says, listen, when I come, it's going to be important what you're doing. Let me say that again. When I come, it's going to be important what you're doing. And he didn't put an age limit on this. He didn't say, well, from the age of, 25 when you start to get a little brain, up to, maybe 65 when you retire, then that's the area that I'm concerned with. No, he's cradle to grave. Cradle to grave. What are you doing for me? Are you doing what I've told? Well, I would like to, God, but you got to understand, I'm retired now, and everybody told me I should, do this and do this. So I bought this and I bought that, and I'm doing that every day. And God, this is really fun, and this, but there's something empty on the inside of me because God is not involved with what you're doing. I'm not saying you can't retire and have a boat, have a, fish, golf, every. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying, though, is God still the owner of the boat? Is He still the owner of the golf clubs? Is He still owner of your time? Is He still, watch this, this is really big. Is He still the owner of your name? Is He still the owner of your word? What does that look like? Yeah, I'll be over to help you on Friday. I know you're moving. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Jesus said, man, don't say yes if you're not going to be there. Let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. And once you say yes to your hurt, you better do what you said you do. Why? Because God doesn't want to come back and find you not doing what your word said it would do. Why? Because He's the owner of what you commit to. I want to be a good steward. I want Him to come back and say, well done, that good and faithful steward, servant. I want Him to be able to say that. And I have to tell you, honestly, that there are many days I'm glad He didn't come back. I mean, you may not be there. You probably got it all together and never fail or fall down or whatever, right? But I think it's sobering for us to stand up and rethink about this and recommit to this. Lord, You own everything that I have, everything that belongs to You. Lord, if You told me to sell everything, that means great grandma's prized possession that's been down through the family. If You told me to get rid of everything, I would do it because You own it. I don't. A pastor was talking about it, and the Lord is, He's never told me to do this that I've heard. But I may not have always been in a position to hear. If this one pastor that I was listening to, he said, twice in our lives, the Lord has told us to sell everything and give it away and follow Him. Both times we just bought a new house for the very first time. You know, it was going to be our forever home. And but I can tell you that that man's obedience caused God to be able to count on him when He handed him a large, large assignment. Sometimes our assignment is limited by our previous disobeying. Paul said it this way. He said, man, I've had a lot. And again, this is my version, right? Paraphrase. I've had a lot. I've had so much you wouldn't believe it. And I've had nothing. But I've learned. Everybody say learned. Learned is something that isn't automatic, but it comes with repetitive situations. Right? I've learned in whatever state that I find myself in, therein to be content. See, contentment is much better than happiness. Contentment says, God, I may not even like the beans and rice that I'm eating right now, but Lord, I'm thanking you for it because you're the owner of everything, right? I used to live in this nicer house, but God, now I'm in this smaller house, but God, I'm thankful, I'm content. And how could I be content? I can only be content when I know that He's my master. And at the end of the day, He owns it all. Did you get something this morning? Hallelujah. Let's think about this for just a minute and ask God if there's some area that we have continued to hold ownership over and that we need to release to Him this morning back the ownership, and we'll just become stewards thereof. If you're watching online, just close your eyes right now with the rest of us in this room. Just close your eyes and just say, Father, when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I turned everything over to you. And I picked things back up. Lord, maybe I'm coveting that car, that motorcycle, those golf clubs, or I'm coveting somebody else's life, or I'm coveting something, Lord, that I shouldn't be coveting, and I just release that to you right now. Whatever you tell me to do about it, I'll do because you're Lord and I'm your servant. Even right now, Lord, I'm casting the care of all of those stresses that I have in my life over to you. And I'll trust you, Lord, that when I need to do something, you'll get word to me to do it. And until then, I refuse to hold on to an owner's responsibility when I'm just a steward. So right now, Lord, we just submit our lives to you. We submit our possessions to you. We submit our kids to you. We submit our troubles to you, our jobs to you, our employees to you. We submit it all to you right now. And we're asking you to really have access to our hearts and maybe even some of the things that we aren't aware of, Lord. Reveal those to us. But by faith right now, we will be obedient to whatever you tell us to do. We own nothing. You own it all. You are the Lord of our lives. So right now, if there's something that's on your heart, something that's come to your mind, just say, Lord, I just give that to you right now. I give it to you right now. Whatever you say to do, I'll do. If you want me to humble myself, I'll humble myself. God, whatever it is, I release that to you. Right here, right now. My life will never be the same because I am laying that down at your feet today. Come on, if that's you, if you're listening online, just give your heart to Jesus. Again, return to that first love where you've made Him Lord of everything. Where you didn't have a care about what was going to happen tomorrow because you trusted Him for today. Just roll it over on Him. Father, right now, we just release ourselves to you. We release ourselves to you. We release ourselves to you. All of you that are watching online, thank you for watching. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, that's the first step. Jesus, I need a Savior. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. But from this moment on, you are in charge and I'm not. Thank you for watching. Father, just bless them. Touch them if they need healing, if they need help. Just touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If I could have the worship team come up. If God's really speaking to you about something this morning,